You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome into the Gym Class here in KGYM. At 4 minutes past three, Scott Unash with you from our studios. Ben on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes joining me in just a couple of moments from his home on the southwest side. Great show for you coming up today. John Cooper is going to join us from Our Lads Scouting Service, and we will take a look at our first look at the 2022 NFL Draft. Take a look at the Hawkeyes, Cyclones, and Panthers, who performed well so far, including at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama. A week ago last weekend, if that made any sense, and talk with him about our prospects as far as the NFL draft is concerned. We'll do that at the bottom of the hour. Also, we'll take a look at college basketball, women's and men's college basketball, and maybe a little golf talk as well as we come your way here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker as well. Text line available to you, as always, at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. As we get ready to kick things off here on a Tuesday edition of the program, Iowa State basketball, men's basketball coming up tonight, Cyclones in Fort Worth to take on the Horned Frogs of TCU, and that is a 7 o'clock pregame time, 8 o'clock with the tip-off coming up this evening right here on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM, and I guess we can say another must-win game for Iowa State. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Mark, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Scott.
The big thing is, though, and this is fun. I mean, I'm not so sure how the Conference USA and the teams that are leaving Conference USA, this is just starting to come down the pike and lighting up. Conference USA put out their football schedule, Mark, for this fall. They included teams that are not planning on being in Conference USA coming up this fall, that are leaving to go to the Sun Belt. Conference USA is putting up they're putting the kibosh. They're trying to put the kibosh on these teams leaving after this year. So right now you've got several teams, several football programs that are in a position to possibly win both Conference USA and the Sun Belt.
I don't think the Big 12 would do the same when OU and Texas leaves.
This is it. They're making a stand, man. They're making a stand against conference leapfrogging, if you will, a little bit. From Conference USA Board of Directors, this is their statement just coming out within the last hour. Quote, Conference USA intends to conduct the 2022-2023 athletic year with the full 14 institution membership intact. The CUSA Board of Directors will exhaust all necessary legal actions to ensure all members meet their contractual obligations as defined by and agreed to in the Conference USA bylaws, unquote. This is going to get sticky.
It could get very sticky, and some schools have released statements. Marshall says, to heck with it. We're leaving come June 30th.
I'm just, it's not a laughing matter probably, but I find this whole thing amusing because Conference USA has the gumption to stand up for teams leaving conferences willy-nilly, if you will. And it's just interesting. It's just interesting to me. And yeah, this is going to, Conference USA is dug in, man. They are going to lawyer up in a big way to keep those institutions that are planning on leaving in the fold for a while. That's This is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And it's got to play out pretty darn quickly because you're talking about fall football coming up, which is not all that far away, really. A half a year away, if you will. And you got to get things taken care of if you are a member institution or are not a member institution. And what about the Sun Belt at this point? What are they doing? Throwing their hands up in the air and, I don't know. What are we going to do? This is fun. This is fun, Mark.
Yeah, this wasn't on our show prep list, but it just came out. But what gets settled first, this situation or baseball negotiations?
Yeah. I'm going to go with this. And I hate to say that, but I'm going to go with Conference USA versus the Sun Belt versus the three teams leaving. I'm going to go with that today. 10 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock. Your thoughts always welcome at 319-366-1600 as we kick things off here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Glad to have you aboard here today. Women's basketball from last night, not a good start for the Hawkeyes, not a good second quarter, and not a good result as Iowa falls to Maryland last night at home. Certainly not a loss that's going to jeopardize the season or anything like that, but still a tough loss for Lisa Bluter and the Iowa Hawkeyes as Iowa is defeated by Brenda Freeze in Maryland 81-69 last night. Did a really good job on Caitlin Clark, and I would say they put the blueprint out, but I think people already kind of know what you need to do to Caitlin. You got to have the horses, first of all, to stop Caitlin Clark. You got to have 6'2", 6'3", that can move fast enough to cover Caitlin Clark. And there are very few teams in the Big Ten and in the country that can do that, but Maryland has some of those players, and they kind of held Caitlin in check last night.
They did, and Maryland was very physical on the defensive end. Clark with 19 points, 7 of 25 shooting, 3 of 13 from 3. A mere mortal night for Caitlin Clark, but Iowa still without McKenna Warnock. Maryland was without a player. Brenda Freeze has a nice team there.
Yeah, she does. She does. And, yeah, the Hawks need Warnock back. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Nice night for Kate Martin. She had double figures last night with 10. Monica Sinano, 16 points last night as well for the Hawkeyes. But a little bit undermanned, if you will. And Iowa will now get ready to they can't really hang the heads because they got to go to Bloomington. That comes up on Saturday when number 4 Indiana will host the Hawkeyes, and that is a Saturday afternoon game over in Bloomington, Indiana at the Assembly Hall. So it doesn't get any easier for Lisa Bluter and the Hawkeyes, but good to see a nice crowd there last night. A lot of people taking that in on a Valentine's Day night. Hope everybody had a great Valentine's Day and Valentine's Day night last night out there among the listenership, but that was good to see. That was good to see last night.
Yeah, and for an 8 o'clock game, how about that? but, yeah, the road for Iowa is not. I think it has two games left with Indiana. Have to play Michigan yet. So if Iowa wants to position itself nicely for the NCAA tournament, it's got to make some hay here in the next, what, 3-4 games left in the season?
Yeah. Besides the tournament. Besides the tournament.
The tournament, yep.
Yeah. Charlie Cream in the latest bracketology from ESPN has Iowa as a 6 seed right now as far as the brackets are concerned. Iowa State a 2 seed. In fact, that is solidified over the weekend. The second reveal of the top 4 seeds in each region. Well, if it would be put and assigned to a region, but Iowa State was a solid number 2. In fact, I believe they were the number 7 overall seed as far as the committee is concerned. So that's good news for Bill Finley and the Cyclones. And we'll have them for you coming up tomorrow night for you right here on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. Tonight, though, it's Iowa State men's basketball, Mark. And That leads us to a talking point coming up here today, and that is the latest as far as bracketology is concerned. Now, bracketology is not the beat all of of how things are going to play out 3-4 weeks from now. We know that, but it's very interesting that each of the bracketologists out there all have Iowa State still included in their field of 68 right now at various spots. Our friend Mike DeCourcy has Iowa State solidly as a 9 right now. Joe Lenardi, not quite as high in the Cyclones. He's got Iowa State as one of the last 4 in as far as the tournament is concerned. I kind of would agree with that a little bit more than our friend Mike at this point, but a lot depends on tonight for Iowa State. People talked and coined Saturday's game as a must-win. Is this a must-must-must-win tonight for Iowa State?
Well, every one of them is. This is a team that has sunk to 43 in the net, last place in the Big 12. Should Iowa State lose tonight, it's going to be 3-10 in the league. Does that sound like an NCAA tournament team to you?
Not really. Not really. But right now at 3-9, everyone has them in.
Is there too much emphasis on this net? I mean, what about common sense? We've talked about Rutgers, and everybody has Rutgers still out of the tournament. Rutgers' net is 81, so yeah, that is really bad. But man, they're playing good basketball, and I've got other examples as well.
Well, right now, another example is Michigan. A lot of people have Michigan as the first 4 out at this point. Doing the eye test, taking a look at Michigan over the weekend versus Iowa State over the weekend. And I don't want to pick on Iowa State that much. But, you know, facts are facts. Iowa State is 3-9 and in last place right now in the Big 12. Who passes the eye test more, Michigan or Iowa State at this point? 319-366-1600. Or Rutgers at this point. 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Love to hear from you out there as we take you through this Tuesday edition of the show. And this is kind of the end. Again, bracketology, as we know, is like predicting the weather. It is not an exact science, certainly. One person's opinion differs from another person's opinion out there. At one point, one of the main considerations as far as the committee is concerned was how you are playing at the end of the year in the last couple of weeks. And maybe we've lost sight of that a little bit and kind of have gotten caught up as far as all the numbers are concerned. And you talked about the net mark. Rutgers' net is bad because of their two bad non-conference losses back in December. Consequently, Iowa State is still in based on non-conference wins, especially a game against Xavier at Madison Square Garden. That one right now is keeping Iowa State in things and in the conversation as far as the NCAAs are concerned. That, along with the win against Iowa and to a certain lesser extent, wins against Memphis and Creighton, which are both on the bubble as well right now, according to most of the bracketologists. By the way, do you go to school to become a bracketologist?
No, you just become one.
Okay. I didn't see that in the course catalog when we were perusing through it way back in the day. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here in the Gym Class on KGYM. A few texts out there. Andy weighing in, what would the spread be if Iowa State and Michigan played on a neutral court? Michigan would be a definite, if not heavy, favorite, in my opinion. Matt in Fairfax, this day and age, we overanalyze everything. It isn't that hard. Just use your eyeballs. You got to use some numbers. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You got to take a look at strength of schedule. You got to take a look at other factors in there. But you know, to borrow a Dick Vitalism, if you will. I mean, December basketball was a long time ago. Early December basketball was a long time ago. Teams get better. Rutgers is much better than they were. They were injured as well back when they played those non-conference games and lost.
Yeah, you're quite right. And speaking of Vital, good luck to him as he has undergone or is undergoing vocal cord surgery today. Missed Dick out there. I know a lot of people do. But, you know, in terms of varying opinions, Joe Lunardi has Iowa a 7, and Jerry Palm has Iowa a 10. I mean, that's a pretty big gap. And Iowa State's a higher seed than Iowa by Jerry Palm. Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
And I do agree with our texter 3148. Thank you for weighing in. Sure, I agree about Iowa State, but who the heck is Iowa beaten? And you and I asked you that question earlier today when we talked, Mark, and that was, again, I'd have to double check on what Iowa's net is today, but I'm not sure, is it just the strength of the Big Ten Conference? And it probably is, that Iowa's net is as high as it is right now. Now, when Iowa's went over, Virginia's looking better and better right now. No doubt about that. Iowa got credence with the win over Utah State as well, and playing a lot of these teams in the Big Ten. Now, they haven't beaten a lot of the upper division teams as far as Big Ten play is concerned. They have another chance on Thursday when Michigan comes calling. But I do agree with you, 31-48. It's a little bit of a head-scratcher.
Yeah, Virginia is getting better and better, 10-6 in the ACC, 16-10 overall. It's net. Is not very good. Back to Iowa State for a minute. Memphis has helped the Cyclones as well, going on a nice little winning streak here. But, you know, the Virginia could help Iowa a lot. Utah State could help Iowa a lot. Frankly, Iowa State could help Iowa a lot. But I think a lot of that 19 net has to do with the Big Ten. But why doesn't that benefit Rutgers?
True. Well, they're because they started off in such a hole. I mean, Rutgers was 140-ish when the Big Ten started, and they've cut that basically almost in half. They're down to an 81 right now as far as the net is concerned. I mean, you look at right now the worst net in the Big Ten, well, besides Nebraska, is Maryland, and they're double digit. They're barely a double digit at 99. Right now, but Northwestern sits at a 65 right now. They're 12-11 and 5-9 in the league. And again, it comes another question you ask: is conference? Would you rather see the seventh or eighth place team in a big conference, or a team that wins 24 games, gets upset maybe on a half court shot or something like that in their conference tournament? That they really have no control over, or very little control over. That's the underlying question.
Those two bad losses for Rutgers came around Thanksgiving time. Two-point losses to Lafayette and UMass. Rutgers has also lost to Penn State. Not a bad team, not a great team. Lost to Minnesota. Lost to Northwestern. So I guess I can see where Rutgers' net is not all that great right now.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to play them.
47-02 Iowa, 7 wins in the toughest conference in the country. And I think that helps the net. Even losses are going to help the net as far as Iowa's concerned. And they're going to help Iowa State as well. The Big 12 still solidly one of the top three conferences without a doubt, as far as college basketball this year is concerned. And that's right now, that's the life preserver that T.J. Otzelberger and Iowa State are hanging on to. Already secured Rob Gray coming up for next Tuesday. Write that down, Mark. Next Tuesday. Rob is going to be helping K.J. with the state wrestling tournament the rest of this week. So that's why he's unavailable this week. But and by the way, best of luck to all the wrestlers as they head to Des Moines coming up today and tomorrow for the annual state wrestling championships. And we got a little bit of girls wrestling news for next year coming up here in just a little bit. Unless you have that on the scoreboard, Mark.
I do not.
Okay, I will announce that then coming up before we get to the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. I also want to talk a little bit of golf, and we're going to do that after we talk to John Cooper from Our Lad Scouting Service, and we'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Iowa State and TCU coming up tonight. That will be at 7 o'clock. That is an 8 o'clock tip-off from down in Fort Worth this evening. TCU right at 500 in the Big 12. They're 5-5. They're in fifth place right now ahead of a charging Kansas State as the Wildcats suddenly picking things up. Oklahoma has really fallen off the radar. West Virginia has really fallen off. They're 3-9. Oklahoma is now 4-8 as far as the Big 12 Conference, 14-11 overall. And a lot of people thought at one point the Big 12 could have 8, maybe even 9 teams. And I think right now you're probably looking at 6, maybe 7 at the outside. And a lot depends on what Iowa State's future is going to be.
Yeah, Palm and Lenardi both have 7 teams in for the Big 12 and for the Big 10, actually, right now. So those could move, one or two, depending on what happens down the stretch. But in regards to Iowa, do the Hawkeyes really have a bad loss? I mean, that snoozer against Rutgers was not good. The overtime loss to Penn State wasn't really good, although Penn State has proven capable of being able to beat some teams. But it doesn't really have a truly bad loss like Lafayette, no?
The losses at Purdue, Illinois, at Iowa State, at Wisconsin, at Rutgers, at Purdue, or Purdue, should say, and at Penn State. Those are the losses. So there's... what's the worst loss in there for Iowa?
At the time, I would have said Rutgers.
I would think it's Penn State now.
Yeah.
It's got to be Penn State in double overtime at the present time. But still with a total of 7 games remaining in the Big Ten season, regular season, at least scheduled games right now, all of those other than... 5 of the 7 games are going to be significant victories for Iowa. And I don't see the Hawkeyes going 0-7 in there. I mean, throw away at Nebraska and the home game against Northwestern. Those are not going to be highlight wins. But a win against Michigan, 1 of the 2 games remaining, Ohio State, Michigan State, or Illinois are going to be big-time wins for the Hawks.
Yeah, I would agree with that, which all points to maybe around a 500 record in the Big Ten, which I think at the beginning of the season, a lot of Iowa fans would have taken that.
I would agree. Coming up on 328, before we get to your part of the scoreboard, Mark, from Emil's Hideaway, and thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, wanted to pass this along. Tony Hager, who does a great job with IA Wrestle, who's kind of taken over and has taken over as far as the wrestling rankings in the state of Iowa is concerned, has just announced on Twitter that the Girls High School Athletic Union has set their dates for girls wrestling for next year. January 28th is going to be the regional qualifying date, and the first sanctioned girls wrestling championships in the state of Iowa next year will be February 2nd and 3rd. It does not say where that will be held, but, we'll have to wait and see. It's been an extreme arena the last couple of years, and maybe it will stay there, or maybe it will move to Des Moines. I don't know, but it will be February 2nd and 3rd. Next year will be the dates of the first girls' wrestling championships.
Well, does that preclude the girls from competing in the boys' state meet?
Yes, it says girls will not be competing on the boys' teams.
Okay, all right.
They will be on girls' teams next year. So that is also put out by Tony. Thank you for mentioning that. All right, for everything else as far as the scoreboard, I'm going to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids.
All right. We mentioned, talked a lot about basketball. The teams invited to the Phil Knight Invitational next November include both the Iowa State men and women and the Iowa women's team. All three of those squads would be playing in November at the Phil Knight Invitational. We're hoping to bring you state qualifying bowling results on both the boys and girls side, but those results slow to trickle in, Scott. Finally, Ryan Morningstar, former three-time state champion at Lisbon, current assistant wrestling coach at Iowa. This weekend, we'll be taken into the Iowa High School Athletic Union Athletic Association Hall of Fame.
Congratulations to him and all the other inductees going in this weekend as far as wrestling championships are concerned. We've said it many, many times, Mark. Many, many times. Whether you're a wrestling fan or not, one of the events, if you're an Iowan, that you must attend finals night now at, of course, Wells Fargo Arena. Used to be at Vets Auditorium, but it is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. From the start with the parade, the Parade of Champions, and then with the inductees as far as wrestling is concerned, and then getting into all of the championship matches. It is an amazing night.
Well, it always has been, whether it's been at the Barn, Veterans Auditorium, or Wells Fargo. It's always been that way, and will continue to be that way. The Grand March is something really special, I think, and kind of raise the hairs on the back of your neck, I think, when you see that.
Not sure who the Grand Marshals this year are for the Grand March, but they've had terrific ones every year. If I had a vote, it would be the family of Wyatt Schultz, but I don't have a vote on that. But like I said, I'm not sure who the Grand March leaders are this year, so we'll see. It'll be fun on Saturday. We'll keep you updated on that. KJ Pilcher, of course, is the man as far as following for updates from the state wrestling championships. And our friend Rob Gray is going to be down there helping him as well. All right, we're going to take a break, get your weather update, come back, and John Cooper's going to join us from our Lad Scouting Service. We'll talk about the Senior Bowl and prospects for Iowa State and UNI and how they did down in Mobile when we come back.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we'll have a mix of sun and clouds for the remainder of the day today. Temperatures are going to be climbing into the low 40s, and it is going to be breezy with winds at around 30 to 35 miles per hour at times. Later tonight, mostly cloudy skies, stays breezy, temperatures will be in the upper 30s, and then tomorrow will peak in the morning hours in the low 40s. We'll have a cold front that comes through, bringing in rain. Colder air moves in, transitioning that rain to a wintry mix. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
BetMGM welcomes you with a special offer on college basketball. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game. If either team hits a three-pointer in the game, you'll win $200 in free bets. Just use bonus code HANSON200, HANSON200, when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Plus, you'll earn BetMGM rewards points that can be redeemed for online bonuses or converted into comps for rooms, restaurants, and more at over 20 MGM resorts nationwide. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSON200, Hanson with an O, to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Iowa only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
The worst of times can bring out the best in each of us. Doctors, nurses, and frontline workers have labored selflessly to keep us safe during the health crisis of our lifetime. How do we thank these heroes? It's simple. Get your COVID vaccine so we can end this pandemic. Variants are on the rise, and we don't want to put these heroes through another health crisis. They have given their all. Now it's up to you. Please do your part. For you, for them, for us.
This message sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station. At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And welcome back to the gym class here on this Tuesday on KGYM. Beautiful day as far as eastern Iowa is concerned. Temperatures in the low 40s. A little windy out there, but plenty of sunshine as we take you through the Tuesday edition of the program. Don't forget, Todd and Alex follow us from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, and that includes the 5 o'clock hour. It is drive time, driven by Linder Tire Service with three locations in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. And you can check them out online at lindertire.com. That's lindertire.com. 319-366-1600. Scott and Mark with you, taking you through the gym class and the 3 o'clock hour today. And, of course, the NFL season ended on Sunday evening with the Rams taking the Lombardi Trophy, beating the Cincinnati Bengals in Super Bowl 56. But that doesn't keep us from thinking about next year and getting ready for Super Bowl 57 already. And to start that off, John Cooper from Our Lad Scouting Service joining us here today on a Tuesday edition of the show. And John, thank you very much for the time. Appreciate it. And first of all, please send, of course, Dan, our best wishes from Scott, Mark, and everybody here at KGYM in his recovery.
Yeah, definitely. He's irreplaceable.
No doubt. No right doubt. Here. Well, Senior Bowl is in the rearview mirror now, and everybody getting ready for the combines, the senior days coming up at various schools around the country, and then the NFL draft, which isn't too far away anyway. And let's start things off as far as talking about State of Iowa folks. Let's start off with the Hawkeyes anyway. And your first impressions about some of the folks that were at Mobile?
Well, you know, there were three players out of Iowa that you know, Iowa State you know, had the kicker Mavis, and Northern Iowa had Penning, and of course the Kohler from Iowa State is also, you know, were the three players that were in the Senior Bowl.
Right.
You know, Mavis didn't exactly have a great game, but I don't think it's going to hurt him as far as, you know, getting into a camp. You know, he's a very accurate kicker. He did miss a chip shot field goal in the Senior Bowl of 24 yards. But, you know, like I said, in the whole body of work, I don't think that's going to affect him negatively. You know, noticed leg strength. One of his kickoffs didn't quite get to the end zone. Not sure that's what they were trying to do or not. But, you know, he's an interesting player. He can punt, you know, besides place kick. And, you know, he came out of nowhere in a lot of ways. He didn't play in 2020 and was a transfer from Fordham, which is, you know, CBS school or FCS school, excuse me. And so, you know, he's a guy the Senior Bowl wanted to take a look at, and the NFL wanted to get a chance to see him. And I believe he's a good enough football player with what he can do that he'll be in somebody's camp next summer.
Tyler Linderbaum is number one center on your board at ourlads.com. Is that clear cut? How high in the first round?
In my opinion, definitely. You know, he's an outstanding football player. You know, he can you know, set. He can run block, he can pass set, and, you know, he's going to have a good career. And there's a lot of teams looking for centers. And I don't know how high a guy will go as a center, but, you know, he would have a first, second-round grade for us.
Well, is that going to,
as far as that goes.
Yeah, is that going to be the big factor right there? Because, you know, center is not a sexy pick for a lot of teams, like in the top 10. I think he's got top 10 ability, but, you know, no matter where he goes, he's going to be a benefit for a team.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I can think of some teams that need a center. And, you know, there's going to probably be some centers that are going to change hands. in free agency. So, you know, you never really know who's going to be looking for that player. But, you know, the Ravens come to mind immediately with Bozeman being a free agent. And do they have the in-house guy that can take their place? You know, they definitely want to shore up their offensive line. And they have the 14th pick. I don't know if they would take a center. And it's not guaranteed Bozeman's going to go somewhere else. So it's just, a matter of, who has the need. And that's usually a need position, especially with the game in this day and age. But, to be a top 10 pick, a top 14 pick, not likely, especially with all the other needs that these teams have.
But in regards to other Hawkeyes, guys like Belton and Goodson, maybe others, who's draftable and who's more of a free agent type?
Well, I have studied the Senior Bowl. I haven't studied Iowa as a school particularly, but I think the guys you're talking about, are potentially draftable. I think, the corner that we really liked, he stayed in school, the guy that comes to mind, I wanted to talk about was from the Senior Bowl, was Penning from Northern Iowa. That's your Iowa player. I think you were considering, Iowa players, correct? Anybody.
Right. Yeah.
He was one of the most impressive players there, in terms of his ability to punch and mirror, and he was nasty. I mean, everybody described him as nasty, and watching the drills, he played till the whistle and then some. And he came there on a mission to show what he could do. He's a tremendously smooth player, and there's a guy that might have jumped himself into the first round, with his performance at the Senior Bowl. Excellent football player. Your tight end Kohler probably didn't have a great. He's going to be a draftable tight end. He didn't have the greatest Senior Bowl. He dropped a couple balls, but he's a guy that has a chance to be a draftable player. Coming out of Iowa State, I was thinking in terms of the guys from the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. Right. And going back to Penning a little bit and going up to the first round, that would be huge, not only for that young man, but for you and I, just for everything around him, certainly at that level. You don't see that, but like you talked about his motor a little bit. And I hate to use the word motor. It's overused a lot, I think. But and he's a big guy, too. Does he remind you of somebody out there?
Well, it's 6'6", 330. You look at the guy that played for the Rams, Whitworth. That's who he kind of reminds me of, to be honest with you. He's that kind of player. Extremely smooth, as far as his pass sets. I mean, he's really a physical football player. He's going to get in people's way, and he's going to knock people off the ball besides. That's the kind of player I really like. I could name, some guys from earlier eras that reminds me of. Pete Kendall is a guy that was a guard tackle that played years and years ago that Dan and I used to marvel over because he was so explosive. And Penn State was out of Penn State and played for many, many years in the NFL. And I can see that from this guy, from Penning. Again, somebody may knock him for something. He may not run at the combine. He may not have the analytics that people are looking for a first-round pick. But after what I saw, I'd put him in the first round.
Another player from the state of Iowa or from a state of Iowa school, number one in your positional rankings at our lads, is Breece Hall from Iowa State. I know he didn't play in the Senior Bowl, but there's a reason he's number one on your running backs board.
Yeah, because the guy who does our running backs loves him. Simple as that. He's excellent speed. He can run. And, he's also got good power. He can break tackles. He can change. He's got agility in traffic. I mean, he's kind of a do-it-all back there aren't a lot of holes in his play, in our opinion. And, you know, we kind of went over them, some of these guys, you know, with the guy who does our running backs. And there was a little bit of a debate over maybe some of the other, another guy might be a little better, but he's definitely our call him, if you look at our website, we'll call him our consensus number one running back. You know, he's whether he's a first round pick or not, I don't know if a running back is a first round pick this year, but he's the top guy in our mind.
Yeah. John Cooper from Our Lads joining us here at 3:45 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. And you talked about, yeah, it's tough. Running backs, centers, a lot of people like that, not really first-round folks. Those are reserved for the wide receivers and the quarterbacks and people that are going to protect the quarterbacks a little bit. But talking about that a little bit, it's not a huge and a great quarterback class this year. That seems to be the consensus anyway. Do you agree with that?
Yes. You know, when I evaluated the quarterbacks, you know, this year, and I've kind of gone through the top guys because right now we're working our way through the from top down at the different positions, and I'm kind of trying to take Dan's place, you know, looking at everybody, which is spreading me, but it's okay. But they all have backup, you know, written on them, you know, in a lot of ways, and there's holes in everyone's play. You know, every one of these quarterbacks has an issue, so to speak, that, you know, but they've also got some outstanding redeeming qualities that some offensive coordinator is going to take a look at and say, hey, you know what, I want to work with this kid. Or the head coach is going to say, or this fits into our style of play. This is what we want. Let's take this guy and work with him. Ideally, some of these guys would be better off as a backup initially and maybe develop into that guy. But, you know, a lot of the things I'm saying are said, were said about Tom Brady. So, you know, you don't know what you've got in a quarterback until you get him in the building. That's when you find out. And that's why, you know, some of these guys, you don't want to, you know, you look at initially, yeah, Kenny Pickett, number one guy on our board, small hands. He's got a problem with, in our opinion, transferring his weight. He's got a good arm, good accuracy. He's probably the most NFL-ready guy. But if anybody watched the Senior Bowl, he had two underthrown balls in the game where, you know, why? I mean, the guy was wide open and he underthrew him. The ball was caught, a nice play. But, you know, if you lay that thing out there, well, you know, he doesn't always transfer his weight properly. It's a mechanical issue. Some quarterback coach is going to say, I like what he's got going. I may not like the small hands. I had a quarterback, I had a head coach tell me we would never take a guy whose hands are under a 9 in the measurement. Well, Kenny Pickett's under a 9. He wouldn't even let him measure his hands. So, you know, is that an issue? I don't know. He's a good football player, and somebody's going to take him. Is he a first-round pick? I don't know. Probably not, but with quarterbacks, if you take them in the first round, you're going to get them for an extra year. So a lot of quarterbacks get drafted in the first round, especially late in the first round, those trade-ups like Jordan Love and Lamar Jackson, with the idea we get that extra option year on his contract. So now we got a chance to keep him. We got a chance to develop him. And if the guy turns out, we won't lose him after 4 years or have a free agent situation. You know, after Pickett, you know, Sam Howell is, you know, has got some really good arm strength and a very quick release. The ball comes out of his hand in a hurry. He was in a one-read offense, so his ability to find alternate receivers, we don't know. He's going to be tested, and somebody's going to have to develop that in him because he throws darts. When the read is there, he throws darts. But he, if he didn't like the read, he takes it, he pulls it up and takes off. The guy everybody's talking about after the Senior Bowl is Malik Willis because a tremendous athlete. He's, you know, he's like a running back playing quarterback. If you look at his full body work, accuracy wasn't there in college for what you want in the NFL. You know, he's kind of a one-read guy, but he's extremely coachable. There's a lot of good intangibles there in terms of leadership, and somebody is going to really like him, and I could see him going in the first round as well. Matt Corral is similar to Howell, you know, an athlete. Both guys can take off and run, and all three of those guys from 2 through 4 are athletic quarterbacks that are what a lot of teams are looking for, the mobility. But all three are going to have some work to do as far as reading NFL defenses. Our fifth guy, Carson Strong, from Nevada, he's just the opposite. He's more of a, I wouldn't call him a statue, but our quarterback guy calls him that. But he's not real mobile. He's got maybe the best arm and accuracy of all these guys, but his lack of mobility and his injury history are going to affect his you know, his draft ability in terms of where he's going to go. You know, and the other guys, you know, they all fall in the same mode. You know, one guy we kind of like is could be a really good backup and does a lot of things well, nothing really outstanding, is Brock Purdy from Iowa State. He's a good football player. He's a guy we liked and did some good things at the East-West Shrine Game.
John, the Los Angeles Rams took an interesting path, interesting strategy to a Super Bowl championship, largely building that team, not totally, but largely, with trades, free agency, and whatnot. Do you see teams maybe adopting more of that strategy and not relying so much on the draft?
Well, you know, it depends on the philosophy of what you want to do. I mean, they were in a win-now mode for – it's kind of a unique situation. You know, their owner had the stadium. They had the Super Bowl there. They were going to do everything they could to get to the Super Bowl for that one particular instance. And so, you know, they gave up a lot of draft picks to get guys like their quarterback, Stafford. Of course, the trade to bring Von Miller you know, L.A. was huge. They didn't give up a first-round pick, but they gave up a couple others. And so, yeah, it just depends on what you want to do. I mean, if you take a look at a lot of the other teams, you know, Baltimore is a team, you know, I'm very familiar with. And, you know, they want to build in the draft. They don't do a lot with free agency, and they've got 9 draft picks in the first 4 rounds coming up. So, you know, they're looking at the draft this year. Philadelphia Eagles. They have 3 first-round picks, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, they're looking to build through the draft. So it just depends on the philosophy of the team. If you remember, I'm old enough to know George Allen, who had that, you know, win-now philosophy, and they traded their draft picks every year. They never had a first-round pick. They always tried to get players. And they were always looking for – and they were, you know, they called them the over-the-hill gang because they had such a – you know, an older team. And the Rams are kind of an older team. And, you know, 4 of their, you know, top players are, you know, long in the tooth. And, you know, a 40-year-old tackle. So are they going to still be around next year? You know, it depends. We'll see. You know, they may have to sign some more free agents to keep it going. They still have a pretty good nucleus of, you know, players besides. But, you know, I think it just depends on the philosophy of the you know, the team. I don't think it's going to change just because of what the Rams did.
Work for them for Sunday, though. And so yeah. they're getting ready for a parade, no doubt about that. And, hey, John, appreciate the time. Thanks for the information. Send our best to Dan, and we'll keep everybody heading over to ourlads.com. And, again, thanks for the time, and looking forward to the draft.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. John Cooper. Check him out at ourlads.com. 3:52. We'll take a break, come back, and have more of the gym class after this here in KGYM.
Race to savings on a new Mastercraft door from Menards. Mastercraft makes great doors inside and out. Choose from our great selection of in-stock Mastercraft doors to take home today. Or personalize your door your way with our online or in-store door designer. Menards has the fastest delivery on doors with free shipping to your store in approximately 7 days. Save big on Mastercraft doors during Menards' Race to Savings sale. Savings good through February 19th.
Save big money at Menards.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all 5 of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
And Alex and Todd coming your way next right here on KGYM for 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Cyclone basketball coming up at 7 o'clock with the pregame, 8 o'clock with the tip. Iowa State and TCU. Scott Mark with us. Our thanks to John Cooper from Our Lad Scouting Service for joining us. And the Olympics continue. It's week number two, Mark. Of course, the controversy going on as far as Russian figure skating is concerned. But I find it very interesting that basketball guru Ken Pom, and I don't know if you've been following this, Mark, he is also a guru as far, you know what his one of his favorite sports is?
I'm going to guess monobob.
No, but close. Curling. He's a curling guy.
He's,
yeah, he's coming up with all the scenarios of how the Americans can get into the medal round right now. It is a mess in the round robin. Teams with five losses are still alive as far as getting into the medal round on the men's side of curling. Americans looking good right now. There's only one scenario that the United States cannot qualify for the medal rounds on the men's side. Women's side's looking good as well.
Well, that'd be excellent. I'm looking forward to hockey as well, both on the men's and women's side. I think the women are going to collide with Canada. I think they do almost every Olympics. And then you've got the men's team with, a handful of Rough Riders, former Rough Riders.
Correct.
On that team. Yeah.
Yeah, so going to be fun. Oh, it has been fun. Going to be even more fun out there. Before we set sail here today, we didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday. Not that it's a great controversy or anything, but over the weekend at the WM Phoenix Open, on Saturday specifically, and we've been talking about this due to fan behavior and whatnot, and this was not a verbal situation or anything like that. This was the entire, what do they estimate are in the Coliseum of the 16th? It's something like 85,000, over 100,000, somewhere right around there on one par three. It's the biggest party in the PGA Tour. It's the only event where basically noise is allowed. And we had a situation on Saturday. There was a hole-in-one at 16, which hadn't happened in, I think, 7 years since the Coliseum was built. This was the first time. And the place, I think you could hear reverberations in New Mexico. Just a little background. Not everyone is sober in the Coliseum at 16. Not everyone is sober. But Sam Ryder made a hole-in-one, and then everything. It was a free-for-all after that.
Well, it was very ironic. This is the WM Phoenix Open, formerly known as the Waste Management Phoenix Open. And when Ryder got that hole-in-one, and I think there was one other one on Sunday, but fans littered the grounds with their beers, throwing full beers, it looked like.
From three stories up, by the way.
Yeah. I thought that was very ironic. Waste Management, people out there cleaning up everything. And we've come to find out, too, Scott, alcohol damages greens, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not good for the greens out there. And they are worried about how that's going to play out. But they have the top-notch crew out there as far as grounds people are concerned, so they'll get that. And it also affected a putt in the fourth round from Patrick Cantlay. It hit an indentation that was not seen. There were many indentations, according to the pros, as far as they tried to roll the green to no avail because of the beer cans, some of them being tossed from three stories. And it's not a situation. I mean, I'm all for the Phoenix Open once a year. I don't like people throwing things on the greens. Someone could get hurt. That got a little ugly out there. I will say that. That's my old man take today. But it was interesting to see, wasn't it?
It was. Cyclone Tim on the text line. Happy Gilmore.
Nobody got hit with a Volkswagen in this one. Thank goodness. All right. Don and Alex coming your way next. KGYM.
Family. It looks a little different for everyone. For some, it's mom and dad. For others, roommates who feel like family. And for others, it's your significant other, their golf.